Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yeah. And, you know, she's out there wrapped up in her Afghan trying to stay warm.
I am.
It is indeed. Like, you know, like the day after official fall is like, oh, okay.
Here we are, yeah.
It's happening. And I guess what else happens this time of year is farm aid.
I know, I was there.
And
was
this
in Chicago.
This year it was in Chicagoland, so you and Mikey got to go.
Mike Novak, Green Devo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hanging out for a good part of the day, checking out the farmers and some of the wonderful organizations that are working to support these family farmers that are kind of being a little bit taken over by corporations.
Well, and it's not just family farms, but it's the small farmer, you know,
the
dedicated
small
farmer.
They don't have to be a family.
I think it started, I think it started as really family farm-centered 30 years ago.
Right.
And it's evolved into more about small, sustainable family, possibly farmers, you know. And we had a chance. You met some cool people.
I did.
Other than the music being kind of cool, just got to say that, you know, that's the backdrop there is the music.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But one of the people you met was this lovely woman named Audra.
Yes, Audra Mulkern.
Yeah. And I got a chance to talk to her today because you talked up all of her amazing work, and it really is kind of, she's a storyteller, and she's using her camera and words to put together stories of women farmers, and she has literally the Female Farmers Project, and it's femalefarmersproject.org.
Yeah, and a lot of her work was featured on the screens in between music sets.
How
so
cool is
that?
That
was very cool, and I was hanging with her.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, you were like a groupie. You were an Audra groupie.
I was.
And you and Mike had a chance to attend the news conference, which they do before the concert. And this year, of course, was a bit special because it's their 30th anniversary this year.
Yeah, I kind of got a little close to Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp, Neil Young, Dave Matthews.
There was one fun...
Not close enough for them to notice me.
Well, how could you not notice...
Maybe Dave winked at me. It's
possible. See? And I saw a picture. One of the pictures, I think it was one of Mike's pictures, where Dave looks like he's looking right at
Mike
and giving him the stink eye.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. I love all those guys. I love this work that they're doing, and it's astonishing that Willie Nelson is really not skipped a beat, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, he was the last one, and I swear, he was just full of energy. And
yeah.
Well, that guy has some serious stamina.
Yeah. And isn't it? And I think it's just marvelous, all the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, I was really inspired. That's what kept me going until the wee hours of the night. I was up 22 hours straight.
And for people,
which is a record for me,
the people that don't know Lynn that well, that is amazing because you're not a night bird.
No, I'm not.
Not a night. She's a morning glory.
I'm a morning person.
So we have to close up, but if you stay tuned, you're going to hear specifically. And one of the things that I got a chance to have Scotty Green Dude Scott, for those who have been with us a long time, remember Green Dude Scott, who is and was a farmer. He's had many incarnations, but we had him in the studio chatting a little bit about that. It's just nice to catch up with him. And Mike and I will chat later in the show, and we're going to hear from Neil Young and Dave Matthews. So please, please stay tuned and listen to us talk to Audra as well. And stay tuned. It's a rockin' show. Literally.
Sure is.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Yay.
Yeah, you miss me.
Let's.
Oh my God! You know all these. I see these green dudes coming through. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
They're not the green dudes.
It's not the same, and I love our green dudes.
Nothing against green dudes, guys. You guys are great. No, seriously.
Don't get me wrong, but Green Dude Scotty's the original. And we
remember that little place way out there. Remember the night you guys? What, did you guys hit a deer one night?
No.
Almost.
Yeah, no, Jennifer did. Yeah, but that was towards the end of the thing. But when we first started going out to the Homegrown Radio NJ studio.
Out in beautiful Blairstown. Say it. Used to say it all the time.
The
beautiful Blairstown, New Jersey. Yeah. And the sunset through the big picture window, we'd all be like, it's August and we're dying in there.
I know, right? And remember the flies?
Open the door.
It's like Lord of the Flies in there.
It was farm country, you know. The honey wagon went by once in a while, spilling its manure. So
for people who don't know, Scott Russo is my awesome
Ex-brother-in-law. Ex. All right. Yeah.
I hate the ex thing,
isn't it ex? Yeah, but my ex right now.
But we started to just, you know, call each other bro and sis anyway, because we've always been
La Familia, baby.
La Familia. So when we were out in Blairstown, he lived out there like a mile or two from the studio. So he used to stop in and I would bring.
Oh, I started calling and you're like, you got to come in because I was like harassing
you. That's what it was. Yeah, you were a total pain in my buttocks.
What's that say?
On.
All right. That's the right one.
And I used to bring your niece out to visit, and you'd bring the boys in.
Right.
The kids would play because they were younger.
It was farm country.
It was farm country.
I tell people I had a farm in New Jersey, like, what? You know, what exit?
You did. You had what horses. Exit? No, man. You were like.
It was out there, yeah. View of the gap.
Yeah.
The Clearwater Gap.
It's a beautiful area. But anyway, then we took it into the studio in Morristown. We were WMTR.
Yeah. By then I was in Connecticut though.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And we would make the trek on the weekends. As a matter of fact, we were coming down from Connecticut even when we were out in Blairstown a couple times.
Yeah. Well, I felt very fortunate, and it's been kind of strange without you.
Well, you're growing. The divas are definitely getting out there.
Yeah.
And I've been very, very busy.
Yeah, you have. You're like Mr. Aviation Man.
I manage an FBO, fixed base operation, which all airports have them, and that's where the planes come in and they park and we fuel them.
Yeah.
Clean their turrets and
all the
whatever.
Fun stuff.
Well, we're mixed between. We have some very high end. We have some very famous people that fly in and out of our place on their
aircraft. A name. Drop a name.
No, I cannot.
You
and will not. No, cannot.
Come on.
Can't. Won't.
Yeah. Come on. There's got to be one that would be comfortable.
Well, we
with
have
that.
Actors, musicians.
Yeah.
Famous sports stars. Me. Don't forget us. Maybe a diva or two will be coming through.
I haven't flown there yet, but
an electric airplane. The Sunflyer.
That's what we're looking for. Yeah, we just did a
segment on the Sunflyer.
On the Sunflyer, which is an electric solar plane.
Yep.
It's the coolest thing.
It's like, duh.
I know.
So we're closer to the sun. Let's just use it.
Use it, people.
And it will. This is an aircraft we will be seeing out there.
And since you've been on the show as a regular, you've gotten married to our beautiful Robina.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
I'm so excited. And I happened to be there.
That was a great day, wasn't it?
It was an amazing.
That's the third time we've been married, you know. You know that story, right?
Yes, right.
7 years old, then October the year before, and then again in June.
It's the cutest, darn story ever.
Yeah.
It's like dripping sweet.
It's dorky, but I mean, it's mine. I mean, I tell people, they're like, oh my God, that's so cute. I was like, really? Well, I just like it because I love this woman.
They
she
literally
is my Lego.
Found each other when they were children and loved each other as children.
Yeah.
You knew.
Yeah. And then life, you know, separated us
you do
as
your
it
thing.
Normally does. Like we've all been through.
Well, you get your experience and you do whatever you got to do in the world. And then you come back and go like, hey, cool.
Yeah. Life has plans for us and we, you know. Society tells us we have to go do this, and we go do this, and sometimes it separates us.
You two are amazing. And let's see, since then, we've had some sad moments when your brother, my ex-husband, who was friendly. I mean, he and I were friends. And
yeah. Well, how could you not be friends with John Russo? Come on.
He was a sweet guy. He was a sweet guy.
But we lost him.
Yeah. That was a tough time. But
we've lost a lot.
You know, it was an opportunity for family to gather, as we did.
Yeah, 12 and 13 were rough years. For people who don't know, I moved up to Sandy Hook, Connecticut.
Yeah, that's right.
Literally on the other side of the intersection from the school.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's ever quiet there, you can hear the kids playing on the playground.
But yeah.
They're rebuilding the school right now as we speak, and it's going to be. And let me tell you, you know, don't tell me, oh, I would never put my kid in that school. You want to talk about a safe school now.
Yeah, right. No one's messing with that school. Yeah, you guys had like all of the media trucks parked in your yard.
Oh, yeah, right in the yard. People walking through the yard.
It was horrifying.
We couldn't get to our house.
Now Robina's children had gone to that school. They were a little older at that point.
No, they actually didn't. It is a regional school system.
Okay.
And surprisingly, I mean, even though we were that close to it, they went up the street further from the home. But that's very typical in regional school systems.
Yeah, I guess it's weird at points.
But Robina taught in the school system.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she taught special ed for Newtown Schools. And a very good friend of ours was still teaching and would have, could have, and may have been there because she's director of the special ed system or program. But she was not, thank God. But it was a tough day. Robina is now a nurse. So
yeah. And I think today is actually like Thank a Nurse Day or
something. No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's a Thank Somebody Day. Think about it now. Sitting across from you.
What? Thank a Diva Day?
Love a Cop.
Oh, is it Love a Cop? Now, I swear to God, I saw something, of course, Facebook, and you don't know if it's 6 weeks old.
I know.
Love a Cop. So Scotty's our favorite retired cop.
You know what? I think every day should just love ice cream. Let's just go with that. Because people make stuff up. Speaking of Willie Nelson, because we were talking about Willie before.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody's at the, what is it?
And I'm asking her to call in now because she just answered me and said, when should I call in? I'm like, how about now?
How about now? She's wearing a shirt?
Yeah, she's wearing,
not that kind of concert. Okay.
She's wearing her Green Diva shirt.
The pictures?
I got to give you one. You see that box over there?
It's kind of girly.
No.
Don't you got a green dude shirt?
No, it says.
Don't know me. I can see it from here.
No, this is not it. It says green. Green I am. It's supposed to be gender neutral. Come on.
I don't think that's grammatically correct, though.
Green I am. It's supposed to be like. All right, don't be a. be a poop. Be a poop.
No. Okay. So, anyways,
she can't call in because it's too loud. And Jack.
That's exactly why she should call in.
And she's heading to a Jack Johnson thing.
Jack Johnson thing.
Yeah.
I like Jack Johnson.
So she's out there with our Green Devo. He likes to be called a Green Devo. Mike Novak, who has his own radio show on our network as well, but he also is our Green Devo from time to time.
Good save.
So they're out. They're out at Farm Aid in Chicagoland.
Yeah.
And, I'm trying not to be jealous because they are kind of having a
party. Yeah, you can't go to all of them. You can't be everywhere. No. There's so many times I'm like, oh, man, how did I miss out on that? But you know what?
Too old. She works hard, so she's having a fun time, and she really, really deserves it. So shout out. But you know what? When this airs, it'll all be over anyway. So whatever.
So the Willie thing, of course, on Facebook, every once in a while, they kill somebody off.
Oh, I know.
Did you see that Willie was dead?
Yeah. He died a couple of weeks ago, according to Facebook.
But I saw the spelling of it.
Yeah.
Died in his home, D-Y-E-D.
Yeah, come on. Okay.
It's like, aha, not funny.
He's purple
now. But people are like, oh, Willie Nelson died.
Is he tied up?
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
And who was it? Somebody else. Every once in a while, Facebook, somebody died. And I was like, okay.
Morgan Freeman dies like every year, right? Don't they kill him off every year?
Yeah. Well, Facebook.
Scotty. This is too much fun. See, we used to do the opening of every show. It was just utter nonsense, but we had so much fun.
Nonsense is very important.
Well, it is.
We need our nonsense.
So, all right. Tell me what's going on green in Connecticut in your area. Anything special? He just looked at me like, really? Okay. Unprepared.
Well, there is a lot green going on. And we were talking before about upcoming shows, and we are going to do more shows. And I have a new car that is so gosh darn fuel efficient. And the only thing electric about it is, well, the lights, but the efficiency of all vehicles has increased twofold, tenfold in the last 30 years. And I'm
even
so happy with that.
Even in the last few years that we were talking about it, and we would talk to John Volker, and it was always something that
John, who just built his new garage.
Well,
I'm jealous of that, though.
No, did you see that?
Yeah, the Taj Mahal. What?
I know. How many cars do you have? Well, he should have, you know.
He has a few favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he's a British car guy. I think his parents are British. He came to the studio.
We still love him anyway.
We love him anyway. No. But you've always had a thing about the car thing because, of course, you're a dude, and that's a dude thing.
Well, I tell you, I've of course, back to the farm. I had at full operation of the farm, I had 8 engines I had to maintain.
Really? Between the tractors?
Tractors and trucks. And of course, that farming is takes a lot of energy to farm, great deal of energy, because you're moving tonnage of crop.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, we all have
to eat. And you farmed hay or corn or feed corn?
No, well, that was on the farm, but I did not harvest that. That was because I had dairy farms on either side of me. But
aren't they stinky dairy farms?
Oh, that's the smell of money. you know, we can all, you know, we can get into this now, foodie stuff. But you have to understand that we all benefit from the farms. And
I know,
it is farms. Farmers are the best stewards of the earth.
Well,
that
some
we can
are.
Come up with.
Some are. But, you know, let's think about it. Some dairy farms, these cows are horribly treated. Like, I do not want to deal with that. But
again, it's a different mindset.
But they have happy cows outside sometimes.
I've seen cows run around and play like children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I have to tell you, the way a farmer, farmers take care of their animals because that is their cash flow.
You'd like to think so, right?
And even a small farmer, his budget, his operating budget is 6 figures.
Yeah.
Even a little guy. Yeah, and he's not going to, that I'm sure it's well into $500,000.
Gracie says
so. It has
so.
To be.
Gracie says so.
Well, she loves animals.
Well, it's apropos that Farm Aid is happening while we're having this discussion, because that's, of course, why it started, to help the family farmers who were losing their farms left and right 30 years ago. And now it's evolved to not only are they helping family farmers, but they're now helping farmers become more sustainable and efficient and better stewards, because I think some cases the farmers don't really, you know, some of them the old school farmers don't necessarily know.
Well, the history of farming, if you go back to post-World War I, World War I before that was people lived in the cities. Farms were nearby and they were small.
Yeah.
The first three-point hitch tractor, which for people that know the know.
Really? You know
before
this?
Before this, well, the late 30s.
Okay.
Before that, you dragged all your implements around. Now, to clear a field, I'll shorten it up. Most farms back then were less than 200 acres because you couldn't manage to farm anything larger than that. That meant that there were many farms out there because they all had collectively had to feed the nation or the populace.
Right.
After, and of course, World War
One. At that point, you didn't have a supermarket where you imported, you know,
and
pineapples from
Hawaii. Let's get down and dirty. People were, food was fresh. Food wasn't filled with crap.
Yeah. Right, wasn't wrapped in
plastic. And everybody was skinny and healthy.
Yeah. Well, go figure.
I mean, hello. Oh,
and they didn't have frozen food back then.
I mean, you and I, we're pretty young. And remember when supermarkets were tiny?
Yeah.
Because there wasn't rows and rows of crap.
Well,
of,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Processed
fresh,
food.
Fresh food.
Yeah.
Remember the market in Midvale?
Yeah.
That was just food.
Right.
But after World War One, we had to feed the nation, you know, we had to feed the world at that point. Farming got bigger and we got better at doing it. The problem was how we got better at that DDT.
Well, that was after World War II.
Well, that all came in through that period between the two wars.
Yes.
We started getting creative.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Scientists started coming up with better ways to do things, and there was no forethought in it.
Better living through chemicals?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's when it happened. And it took another 30 years to go. Oh, poop, and we can't do it this way.
And we've destroyed soil in certain areas from all of this stuff.
Well, if you really think about it, if you have
to
rely.
Revive.
Yes, well, you have to remember, boots on the ground, a farmer really has to care for his soil and his animals.
Yeah.
Yes. If you take a
But hasn't
look
industrial,
a straw,
industrial farming kind of been crushing small farmers? Because, like, you know,
well, it has to be industrial because a small farmer will not survive, cannot survive. There's no way. I mean, a small farmer, 100 head of dairy cows, you're talking a $300,000 exchange, and they're not getting that back because what they're getting paid for their gallon of milk and what we're paying for it, somebody else is getting it.
Oh, that's not right.
And, of course, we've, you know, found ways because we have to transport it and give it and put it on shelves and then people have to put it in the refrigerators. We found ways to screw that up besides.
Yeah, this is definitely a huge conversation.
Yes, We have there. I mean, the way that animals are given nutrients is more than, I mean, and treated for disease has, oh, it gets through their system in hours, and that has got to stop.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Right.
Because, well, I mean, we're trying to fatten cows up fast, so we feed them corn, but their little stomachs, and their several stomachs, whatever, can't handle the corn, and their livers go, antibiotics. And
they get fed a salad of corn. They just take the entire corn stalk, leaf, and everything, grind it up, and that's what they eat. It's called silage. It's good stuff. It smells great. It's very sweet.
Well, Scott, it's always fun to chat with you about these things. But, you know, what I love about Scott is you're an ex-Marine, retired cop. Not ex, you're a retired Marine. Sorry.
The look works every time.
I know. I know the look. I got the hairy eyeball. Whoop. Retired cop and a retired farmer. And you've got this whole other life going
now. That makes
me
really tired.
So that's what I know. And you're younger than me. It's like incredible how many lives you've had already.
Why stop?
I know. Why stop?
Sun comes up every day. You got to
do
something.
You just got to come down more often. Bring Robina and we'll have more fun.
She's here
it's
somewhere.
Always fun talking with you. But today it was fun to talk about farming because obviously it's going to be a focus
from Farm Aid.
All right, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks, Scotty. Come back soon.
Bye.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Humans have gone to the far corners of the world and the depths of the ocean to uncover the mysteries of nature. But your own backyard is a pretty amazing place. More on that after this.
There's nothing like hot dogs on the grill, but as a mom, I have to be concerned about quality. That's why I buy Tall Grass Beef hot dogs, 100% grass-fed beef, nothing artificial, gluten-free, and voted number one in taste by New York Magazine. If you want to give your family a great-tasting hot dog and one that's good for them, then your choice should be Tall Grass Beef hot dogs. Easy to buy online at tallgrassbeef.com or ask for them at your favorite supermarket. Tall Grass Beef hot dogs, the healthy alternative. Buy them online at tallgrassbeef.com.
Some of the animals you share your yard with have incredibly developed talons. That squirrel in the tree can locate a nut buried months ago simply by using its sense of smell. The hummingbird at the feeder can beat its wings 70 times per second. The brown bat eats up to 1,000 mosquitoes per night. The red-tailed hawk sees the world 8 times faster than you do. And make sure that the mouse population is kept in check. And that most ancient of insects, the dragonfly, not only cleans the yard of bugs, but can see 360 degrees without turning its head. This great reality show is right in your own backyard. I'm Bill Curtis, and Earth Matters.
There are people in this world that just sparkle with an almost magical and radiant energy, leaving a wake of good stuff wherever they go. We just love meeting and talking with these folks who inspire us to be better, do better. Well, Lynn found this gem of a woman who she's been talking about since Farm Aid, which was only a couple of days ago. Audra Mulkern is a very, very talented storyteller who has been using her talent with a camera and her writing in combination to help highlight women farmers, among other farmers, but this is one of the projects she's been working on more recently, is women farmers around the country. Hi, Audra.
Hi. How are you, Meg?
Well, I'm really just a little jealous that I didn't get to Farm Aid and didn't get to meet you, but I know we'll meet at some point.
We sure will.
So Lynn was just really impressed, not only with your work, which is gorgeous and very much tells a story from the little bit that I was able to see before we got on the air here. But give us a little backstory about what motivated you to go in this direction.
Well, I didn't start out as sort of a storyteller. the way, way back history is I live in a small farming community. My neighbors are my farmers. But 16, 17 years ago, there was no real access to buy vegetables direct from my farmers. There was no market here in town. There was no CSA program, per se.
Right.
That was sort of at the beginning of that style of creating a customer base within communities. And so I was actively seeking out, trying to get vegetables from my own farm community and could not. Found a CSA program through the farmers market, the Pike Place Farmers Market in Seattle.
Okay.
And through that, I was able to learn sort of the names of the farms in my community and started reaching out to them and eventually was able to buy vegetables directly from a farm here in my community that eventually grew their CSA program to be one of the largest in the country.
Wow.
But the interesting thing is that the name of that farm is Full Circle Farm. And so I started going to the farm and picking up my vegetables once a week. You know, there was probably 15 or 20 of us to begin with. And as it grew, my interest, you know, coming onto the farm every week, my interest in farms and farm fresh food and how people grow it, that also grew with it. And then we started getting farmers markets in our community. And so I started spending time at the markets and spending time with a lot of farmers and talking about how to cook my food and why do they come to the market.
Right.
And that sort of spun into, and I also, that was at the beginning of the iPhone as well, where we had cameras on our phones
yeah.
and we were able to take pretty cool pictures.
Yeah.
And so I started taking pictures of my phone and eventually just compiled all those pictures and those stories and essays from the different farmers about why they come to market into a little book, a little collection. And the response to that encouraged me that people really wanted to know about
and
who was growing their food.
I want to mention your book. It's called, where is it? The Art and Color of the, you say it.
Snoqualmie Valley.
I can't pronounce it.
We've got some tricky names out here in the West. Yeah, it's rooted in the valley, the art and color of the Snoqualmie Valley Farmers Markets, and kind of take the approach in that book that, for me, it was a little love letter to the farmers. You know, they the market became sort of art gallery to me of sorts.
Yeah.
And they were the artists who, you know, painted these beautiful scenes with vegetables. And but as a result of that, I began to see behind the table of vegetables and start to understand why they were coming to market, and I wanted to dig deep. But in that process, I discovered, you know, it was one of those things where my eyes were opened when I realized one day that all of the farmers at market were women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the things like, how did I not notice this before?
Yeah.
What's going on here? So I started asking around and found out at that summer, specifically, one of the farms got no applications from men. It was all women. It was the first time they had that. So I had this inkling that I was onto something, but I sat on it for about a year
yeah.
and thought about how can I do this? Because I'm not a photographer. I'm not a writer. And finally, I decided it doesn't matter if I am or not. I'm going to tell the story anyway, the best way I know how. And so I borrowed a camera, and my girlfriend spent 15 minutes with me showing me how to use it. And it's just been an incredible journey since then, sharing the stories of people who grow our food.
Yeah, and there are an amazing amount of women who are taking on the sustainable farming challenge.
Yeah, women, I have found anecdotally that women tend towards smaller organic style farms, polyculture farms.
Yeah.
You know, they'll have a little bit of animals, vegetables, you know, chicken, eggs, the whole thing. They have a little bit of everything on the farm. They're smaller pieces of land. They're more affordable for single farmers. And so they are taking on this challenge. And the really interesting thing to me has been that a lot of these farmers are first generation, and many of them are coming to farming as second and third careers.
Right. People like, I gave up being an accountant in New York and, you know, moved upstate and started, you know, farming whatever. You know, you hear the story all the time, and it is remarkably a larger number of women.
It is. And the interesting thing is that, you know, coming from the corporate world, they're bringing new and fresh ideas to sort of the business of farming.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a whole different culture evolving. And, I mean, I've been following Farm Aid pretty much since the beginning. And I, too, was in the early stages. In fact, I didn't realize it, but I was a member of the very first CSA in this whole country, which is in the Berkshires, Robin Van En. I don't know. That's what Wikipedia says. I was like, really? We were? I didn't know that. But, you know, so in the 80s, we were like, you know, all working with our local farmers, and we used to dream of having organic food be accessible, more accessible. And here we are today. And I just love what Farm Aid is all about and you know, how wonderfully you fit in your work, your recent work is fitting in there.
I agree. It was such an honor to be asked to have my images broadcast from the stage.
Yeah.
You know, these women, you know, they deserve all of the rock star status they can get. They're rocking the food world, and thank you to Farm Aid for that platform for them.
Well, and it does tell a story, and I believe, and people think I'm crazy, but I believe that the way that we will save ourselves in terms of food is to start stronger regional, you know, food systems and stop relying on these corporate industrial farms. And they're like, you can't feed the world like that. I'm like, really? Because we used to. And I know there are more people, but you know, we're smart. We can figure it out. And I, for one, and I know there are other people who are committed to buying as much local as possible. So
yeah, there's definitely, you know, I think we need everybody at the table to figure out how we're going to feed the world. And, you know, decentralizing farming is definitely one of those options and a great one. And women are sort of leading the charge in that.
Go girls, go Green Divas. So how can people find out more about your work and what's coming up for you?
The project sits on a website. It kind of resides as sort of a chronicle. There's a mixture of stories that I write, stories that I ask other farmers to write about themselves, mm-hmm. personal essays, Q&As. I also have a series called Ask the Farmer or Ask a Farmer, where I sort of crowdsource questions on social media and then compile them into a piece about different topics, anything from, you know, what are the biggest barriers into farming, what are, you know, mm-hmm. different topics. You know, I try to come up with some fresh ones along the way.
Yeah.
But it's at femalefarmerproject.org.
Okay.
Most Google searches or Bing searches on Female Farmer will get you to the project. You know, both sort of visual and, you know, visual chronicle and stories and essays.
So, yeah, I mean, one of the sort of battle cries of Farm Aid from way back has been, you know, get to know your farmer. Get to know the people that are making your food. Hug your farmer. Love your farmer. You took that. You took that and you said, yeah, I'm going to go, like, really get into this.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that people, you know, I still to this day, it's so funny because I'm the kind of person that will, you know, if I can get the farmer's attention, you know, if they're not busy.
Right.
Ask them questions about themselves. And so often I see people just kind of wander by, or they'll pick up a vegetable, won't make eye contact. And, you know, the farmer's market is really that opportunity to connect with the person who's growing your food or even your neighbor. You know, it's kind of the antithesis to our busy, disconnected internet world.
Yeah.
And so I try to take advantage of it, and I always am a little bit sad if I see somebody not taking advantage of it. I'm hoping that my chronicle stories will encourage someone to maybe put out their hand and shake their farmer's hand and get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even just change how they, even if it helps them change how they look at the food on their plate.
Right.
You know, and how it got there.
Sadly, my
there was real hands picking those vegetables.
You know, I know that that's the case in so many, but like my little farmer's market, you know, I talk to my farmers, and like half of the stuff they don't even grow. They bring it in. I'm like, what? What is that? And they're not organic, and it's really I'm like, okay, I want to buy like one of two things or both if I can, organic and local. And it's kind of – so I have to get involved with my farmer's market and start, you know. You know?
That's interesting. Yeah,
because I'm one of those people who always chat up a farmer. And we do that wherever we go. My husband and I travel. We find a farmer's market wherever we go. And
true.
And we talk to them, and it's always like this great – you know, and then like here in my own farmer's market, like, we didn't grow it. I don't know. I think it came out from Maryland. And I'm like, really? Okay, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I had a great time even visiting the one in Chicago. That was a lot of fun for me, you know, really city center farmers market there at Daly Center Plaza. And I didn't even talk to the farmers. They were so busy. I just kind of walked around with my eyes wide open. I've never been to such a big and busy market.
Well, when you come east to New York, you have to go to the Union Square Farmers Market. To me, that's like the center of the universe with farmers markets.
You know, it's funny because I have been to New York several times and not been to that market because I always miss the day.
Well, now they have Someday. It. I think it's during the week, like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's
during
grown.
During season, probably. Yeah, I'm usually there off season.
Well, we'll have you back. And then when you're in New York, you can come to the studio and play.
I would love it.
Well, I'm so glad that you and Lynn connected and that we got a chance to speak today. Keep up the good work. We're going to be following your progress, and I'm sure we'll get to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Meg. It was such an honor.
We hope you're feeling the sparkle. Go out there and light up the world. As Dante said, even a little spark may burst a flame. For more inspiration, visit thegreendivas.com. And listen for this and other shows on GDGDradio.com.
Greetings, everyone. This is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist, author, and chocolatier. And you're listening to The Green Divas. Listen close, tune in, and have the best day ever.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Is it possible for the U.S. to convert to 100% renewable energy in just 35 years? One researcher thinks so. Mark Jacobson of Stanford University has created a roadmap that shows how each of the 50 states could meet all of their energy needs using a combination of wind, water, and solar power. Each state's plan takes advantage of its unique resources. For example, under his plan, New Mexico would get 50% of its energy from wind, almost 40% from solar, 10% from geothermal, and a tiny amount from hydroelectric. Alabama, by contrast, could get more than 80% from solar, but would also need a diverse mix of hydroelectric, wave, and wind energy to achieve the rest. Jacobson's roadmap also estimates how many jobs will be created, the number of air pollution-related deaths avoided each year, and how long it will take for the plan to pay for itself from the health and climate savings. He estimates that eliminating fossil fuels from the U.S. economy by 2050 would save more than $3 trillion every year.
So it's actually much cheaper from a societal point of view to do this conversion.
You can see how your state compares online at thesolutionsproject.org. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
as always, a pleasure to talk to one of our favorite green divos, as he likes to call himself. Sten Bart.
I'm pounding that into your head.
I know, but you spell it wrong.
You spell it right. It's D-E-V-O,
no,
Devo.
No. Anyway, so if you don't recognize the voice of the infamous Mike Novak. Hi, Mike.
Hi, coming down in 3, 2, 1. Oh, hi. I'm just doing my radio thing here.
Yeah, I know. I know. He, if for people who don't know, the Mike Novak Show is one of our signature shows on GDGD Radio Network. And from time to time, we get the chance to have him on our show and vice versa. But today, we're going to jump in and talk about you and Lynn got a chance to go to Farm Aid 30, and I was left.
Which was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I have to say a couple of things about that. First of all, Lynn got to stay for the concert as well.
Yeah.
And I was taking the audio home. You know, it was just another work day for me.
Oh, man. Come on. You couldn't have stayed
no,
for a little
true,
while and played?
We get there like at 10 a.m., the media's, you know, and we're in the media tent, and then they take us out to the stage where there are a bunch of people who have worked for Farm Aid, some of them for all 30 years.
Yeah.
And they're all seated up there, and we're up, there's all the media's out in the audience, and we're all looking up, and I'm going, oh, okay, well, this is interesting. I wonder what's going to happen. And then suddenly, Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, Neil Young, and Dave Matthews walk out. And
yeah.
I go, oh.
Right.
Now this is interesting. This is cool.
Yeah, well, and you're around my age, so some of these guys are like legends, you know. I mean, Neil Young, oh my God. Willie Nelson. It's very cool.
Well, heck, Willie Nelson goes back to the generation before me.
Yeah, he does, interestingly. Yeah. Yeah, he's been around a bit.
The dude's in his 80s now.
Is he?
Lynn was amazed at that.
I didn't know that.
We can look it up.
Well, I met him when they did Farm Aid in 2007. We were media sponsors when I had the magazine in New York. And
mm-hmm.
I got to meet and interview Willie and his wife, which was fascinating.
Did you really see?
Yeah, I did.
It was quite different for me because while you'll hear Willie and John and those guys on my show, they were up on stage, and I was in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
But it was still cool having them there, but I didn't get to do one-on-one.
Well,
I really didn't push it. It was different.
First of all, what I realized what was different, because I couldn't understand why you didn't have the same access, is we were somehow VIP. We got these VIP passes when I had the magazine, and we were hanging out backstage. And then, but that particular interview with Willie Nelson was taken at an event the night before at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. And they had sort of a green carpet, you know, where there's all these. So there was little old me with a guy with a camera, and I'm up against, you know, E, the Entertainment Network, and Channel 7, and everybody's vying for attention. And luckily, these guys took pity on me and talked to me. But that was pretty
well,
much how that went.
Well, you know what? Pity works as long as the recorder is running.
That's
all right?
That's how I got Woody Harrelson, because his handler literally shoved me aside and started walking by, and he gave her the biggest stink eye, came back to me, and I handed him one of the magazines, and I said, "Hey, would you mind looking at this and talking to us? I just have one question." He was like, "Absolutely." Boy, did she slink away in shame. What
well,
is a sweetheart?
You know, they're just – I'm actually going to – I'll defend her because they're just doing their jobs.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I used to be a PR handler way back in the day. Yeah.
And you know, from our end, we don't want the talent to walk by, the star to walk by. But – if you're the handler, as you know, sometimes you got a schedule to keep.
Well, they don't know who they didn't know who we are, and they were picking and choosing who he was talking to. But
well, sometimes though, you got to introduce yourself. You make them know who you are.
Well, apparently I did. You know. Apparently I did. And he took
Good
my
for
magazine.
You.
I have it on film. It took my magazine. He's looking at it going, this is neat. And I was like, yeah, it is. And all right. And yeah, so that
by the way, out. By the way, mm-hmm. I'm just going to let you know that Willie Nelson was born on April 30th, 1933. He
wow.
is now 82.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I did the math real quick there. Yeah, mm-hmm.
You're better at it than I am, then.
Wow. All right, well,
but
go
they
Willie.
Were up there, and Willie didn't say much at this thing. John and Neil and Dave, because I'm on a first-name basis with them now, had
I'm sorry.
That's what I'll keep, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
But they got up and they talked about the folks, and there were, you know, another 30 people behind them, and these are all people who work for Farm Aid and don't get all the glory that these guys do, but are behind the scenes and helping family farmers and fighting the factory farms and fighting the corporate takeover of farmland in America.
Well, you know, and the thing that people don't realize is that Farm Aid goes on, you know, the organization behind it goes on all year round, and they're raising money and helping these farmers. And so it's a very fun event every year, but there's so much more that's going into it all the time. So I'm glad that they, you know, it sounded like John Mellencamp really did the acknowledgments, and it's a 30th anniversary, so it's a big deal, right? You know.
Yeah,
but
it is a big deal.
But
I mean, when they first did it, the idea was, well, we'll do this concert and we'll save the farmers and then we'll move on. And then everybody realized, well, that's just not nearly enough. We got to keep doing this.
Well,
and I actually did get a chance to talk to the executive director, Carolyn Mooger.
Yes.
Who was there, and I did talk to her one on one. So that's and all of this is on my show, which is running at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central all week on the Green Divas radio network. Well, GDGD radio
GDGD
network.
GDGD radio, yeah. I know it's confusing. I know.
But wait, we got to give you both. It's GDGD and also the Green Divas.
But I want to say that you got some great, great material in the short time you were there from the press conference. And you know, I'm going to play a couple of clips, if you don't mind. Credit to
you.
No,
not at all.
For being there. But Neil Young, you know, he talks about, he's asked about, you know, what's Farm Aid done, you know, in 30 years and blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, I think Dave answered that. He said, I want to talk about why.
It's because we're up against a gigantic force that keeps coming at us from everywhere. And it's centered in our government. And it's backed up by multinational corporations who are taking over the farmland of the United States, who produce 90% of the corn. Their seeds are owned by these companies, so farmers can't trade seeds. Currently in the Senate, there's a bill that if it passes through the Senate, it will make it illegal to trade seeds farther than 3 to 5 miles. That means that farmers won't be able to do what they've done since time immemorial, since everything started, the way it's always been on God's green earth, is now, because of our government and the money that they're taking from the multinational corporations, we are being forced to give up the right for our farmers to trade seeds. We need seed justice in this land.
And then he goes on to talk about seed justice and further.
Yeah, and that's a concept that a lot of people are perhaps not aware of. Seed justice, the idea that, well, for millennia, farmers have saved their seeds, they collect the seeds, they share the seeds. Now, in the new world where seeds have patents on them, you have to buy them from the big companies, the seed producers, every year. And if you share them, you might find yourself in court.
Right, right. It's incredible. And so he talks about that. And, you know how Neil really is. I mean, he just doesn't mince words or sugarcoat it.
No.
And he goes on to talk about corporate farms.
When you drive across Colorado, when you drive across this great country, you see these lines and lines of corn. Many miles and miles of cornfields and they're all corporate farms. 90% of these farms are corporate farms. The American farm is disappearing. This is a reality. We keep saying we're fighting, but it is disappearing. And they said why. We've only got a few young people involved, and the farms are going to change hands. And we know when the farms change hands, that's when the corporations come in and grab another slice. And then they tell you that they are saving the world, that they're doing this so that they can feed the world. And that is complete bullshit.
They name Monsanto, and I think Dave does a really beautiful bit about the combination of food and environment and what we need to teach our children.
We need to teach our children that what they eat matters not only to their bodies, but also to the land and to the community and to the farmers and to everybody, to the health of the planet. We also need to tell our children and fight for our children against the bottom line interests of big money.
So, Mike, you did a fabulous job, and I'm sorry you didn't get to hang out and schmooze with the ladies and, you know, the rest of your buddies, Willie, Dave, Neil, John.
Yeah, I wanted to have a beer with Dave.
Yeah,
and
right?
John and Willie and Neil, but...
I've had dinner with Dave backstage a few years ago, but...
Really?
Yeah.
On a styrofoam plate?
Kind of like that. I mean, that's what it's like, you know, backstage.
Sure. That's what I was thinking, you know, a box sandwich or something like that.
Well...
But, you know, there were two things I really missed. One was obviously the music.
Yeah.
Which I got to hear some of the earlier acts, but I didn't get to hear the main acts. But again, that's because I was on the job. But also, you know, Lynn was there with a bunch of babes, and I hate missing out on being with babes.
Oh, but you were with Lynn for a little while. At least you had one babe.
Well, she's a babe, definitely.
She's a very babe.
She's very babish.
She's babelicious. I think you're being a martyr. Like, I think you could have put off the editing for an hour or two, right? No?
It turns out I probably could have.
I hate that.
But I think they got out of there a lot later than an hour or two later.
Oh, yeah, no. Lynn didn't get home for way past her bedtime.
Yeah, and she talked about that, how she can't even imagine being up past 10 p.m., so
yeah,
this was a sacrifice for her.
She had a great time, and I'm really glad you went with her. You two are a great team, and next time I'm coming along.
And I just want to let people know that if they don't catch my show on GDGDradio.com this week, they can go to my website, mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net.
Yeah.
And listen to the podcast anytime.
Do it. Even Green Diva Lynn even makes an appearance.
Yes. In the show. Yes. I have her in the show because she was with me all day until I had to go home and miss the concert.
Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Not because I know you get to do lots of fun things too, Mike.
Occasionally. It happens.
All right, my friend. We talk soon. Bye, Green Diva Mike.
Bye, Green Diva Meg.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.